Well, good morning. I'm rejoicing in the goodness of God again this morning to bring us all together in this way. Thank you, Brother Andy, for what you shared. It's definitely a question we need to each ask ourselves. Is, whom are we seeking today? I endeavor to share this morning out of Joshua 14, verses 6 through 14, and before we get to the book of Joshua this morning, we see that the children of Israel going through the wilderness there is there. And we've seen all the struggles that they faced. And we see here at the beginning of this book here, we see that Moses, he passed away and he died. And Joshua's commissioned to take over the children of Israel and lead them on and lead them to the promised land. And they enter into the battle. And they're being victorious, and they're fighting, and they're conquering much land. And as they're heading towards the promised land there, and they come up to the Jordan River, and they're waiting for God's command to go into the land of Canaan there. And we see God talk to Joshua there. We see God's telling Joshua that when we get across this land, it's in the 13th chapter there. We see the first verse. God's telling Joshua when we enter into the promised land, that there's going to be many more battles. There's going to be much more land to possess, and there's going to be many more battles to fight, and there's going to be much more challenges for the children of Israel here. And you know, when I was putting that together, and I came to that part there, I made a parallel to our own lives as we become Christians, and it can be 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or 20, as we entered into the kingdom of God, And as I look back now, I can see that there was much more land that needed to be possessed. And as we started walking with God, there were many more battles that needed to be fought. And there's much that we need to learn as we walk with Jesus after we enter into the kingdom of God. And maybe I'll come to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll read in Joshua 14, verses 6 through 14. Yes, eternal, righteous Lord in heaven, we come to you this morning, Lord. We come to you in the precious name of Jesus. We see this morning as we hear the things that Andy shared here, God, and we know that we have higher grounds to gain in our own lives, and we can look at Jesus, talk to the disciples there, and we can see him ask them, "Whom seek ye?" And we need to take this morning. We need to ask ourselves this morning who we're seeking. And God, make it clear to us and help us here, God, and be merciful to us. You know, you see our needs and you know the needs that we have here, Father, in our own lives. And you know that this battle is not easy that we walk. And we come to you this morning, Lord. I just ask for your help as I endeavor to share this opening here, Father. I pray, Lord, you be with me. Give me a calmness of heart and just be with me. We thank you. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Joshua 14, verse 6, I'll read here down to 14. Then the children of Judah, they came unto Joshua the Gileadite there. Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kizzite said to him, "Thou knowest the things the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast fully followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said these 45 years, even since the Lord spake these words unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and lo, now I am this day 85 years. And yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. And my strength was, even as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day. And thou heardest in that day that the Achans were there. The Achans were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord's will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and he gave Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron as his inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Hittite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord of Israel. After reading this, after we read these chapters right here, we can see that it's pointing out that Caleb was a man of God, and that he walked close, and that he followed God with his whole heart. And everything he did was relating to the will of God. And we can see that Caleb was very faithful in his walk with God. We can see that as he walked these 40 years through the wilderness and through the land and through the desert there with the children of Israel, that he walked with them, and they had all these struggles and all these battles that they fought, and they had many struggles as they went through the wilderness there. And we see Joshua and Caleb through this time that they maintained a high lofty desire to walk a victorious Christian life. And that's where I want to come out this morning is the importance of having a victorious Christian life. The way that Caleb and them did, as they walked through the wilderness and they was victorious and they was faithful to God and they walked close with God. That's the message that I want to pull out of here this morning. As we go through the Old Testament this morning, we see that the children of Israel, that they faced many mountains and they faced many battles and they faced many giants as they walked through the wilderness. And we've seen that there's many things that stood between them and God as they went those 40 years through the wilderness. And we see Caleb here, he was 85 years old, and he was telling Joshua that you remember what God promised Moses, or Moses promised me, as we was going through the wilderness, as we went to the entrance of Canaan there, that God promised me the mountaintops. He promised the hills there that they were mine, me and my seed. And he was asking Joshua about this. And, you know, Caleb, he didn't want the easy way out. The hilltops where he was talking about, the giants lived there. And there was a fortified city. He was asking Joshua for the things that God promised him, because he knew that if God promised him that he'd be able to conquer. That he was asking for those things. When we get to the book of Joshua this morning, we see the children of Israel there. We see the tide has turned, and we see that they're living in victory. They're conquering. And they're overcoming. They fought many battles. As they get to here, you see the list of kings that they defeated, and you see that the battles that they won, and you see that they're being victorious in their Christian life. When we get to this book, they're no longer wandering around the desert without hope. Here in this book, we see all the victory that they're having, and we see them enter into the promised land that God promised them 45 years before. Before we get to this, though, we see of all the failures that they had, and the point I want to get out is the victory that we must have in our life. We see the children of Israel, they failed much them 40 years because they did not hearken to the word of God. Through the Old Testament here, we see many places through the Old Testament and through the New Testament, we see that the children of Israel, they're examples for us today. They refer to the children of Israel as an example that we would live a victorious Christian life. And there's many areas through the Bible that says that. In 1 Corinthians 10:1-10, it tells us not to do the things which the children of Israel did. I'll read 1 Corinthians 10:1-10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and all in the sea. And they all did eat the same spiritual meat, and they all drink from the same spiritual drink. For they drink from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But many of them God was not well pleased with, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are our examples to the intent that we should not lust after the evil things that they lusted, neither be idolaters as they were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them did. Some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,020. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. Neither murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things Now all these things happen unto us for examples. It is written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. We can see here that these events which occurred in those days are examples for us. The events that occurred through the Old Testament, they're examples for us today. It's important to show us the importance of living a victorious Christian life. The children of Israel, they faced many battles. They faced much loss. 23,000 died in one day. 14,000 died another day. If we see the importance, of how God looks at little, we would maybe say small sins of murmuring and complaining. They were very important to God that they walked in victory. We can see that Achan, his whole family was swallowed up by the earth because he took a garment that was not his. We can see the whole camp of Israel, they lost battles because of one man's sin. And that we can see the importance today, even my own life, that we can see the importance of these little things that we would call little things, but they're very significant to God. That we'd see the importance of these little sins that we would call sin. I'm not sure there is a thing as a little sin, but the things that we look at as insignificant, they're a big deal to God, some of these. Just murmuring and complaining, the children of Israel, they lost thousands of people in one day's time because of that and unbelief. And we can learn the importance of having a victorious Christian life, and that we could understand today, that we could understand these truths of God's Word and apply them to our life. We understand this morning that the children of Israel, they had many mountains to cross, and they had many battles to win, and they had many giants to conquer this morning. You know, we could see that all the bickering, struggling that the children of Israel went through, it displeased the Lord a lot. This morning we need to ask ourselves, what keeps us from conquering? Is there things that keep us from conquering in life? Are we bittering? Are we bickering, complaining? Is there bitterness in our heart? Is there strife in our life? Do we struggle with things in this life that are not pleasing to God? Because if we do, we need to overcome. We need to conquer these mountains because God was not pleased with the children of Israel, and He's not going to be pleased with us either. In Joshua 14, we find Caleb. He was a man that was sold out for God. The Bible says that he was so committed that it says seven times that he wholeheartedly served the Lord. Caleb was one of the spies that was sent out to spy out the land, and he brought back a good report along with Joshua. But there was 10 other spies that went with him that brought back a negative report. They brought back a report that was that caused much contention and much strife and much doubt and much fear in the people and the children of Israel, And the people wandered for the next 40 years in the wilderness because of the negative report of those 10 spies. And God looked at these 10 spies, and He was not pleased with them. As those 10 of those spies went to bed that night, they never woke up the next morning. God slew them through the night because of the discouraging report that they brought back to camp. I'm not sure if it was that night or not, but it was one of the nights that all 10 of them died. But God promised Moses 40 years. Well, God promised Caleb. All of them except Joshua and Caleb died. After these 40 years, Caleb was 85 years old, and he was unchanged in his commitment to the Lord. After wandering all these years in the wilderness, he still wanted to receive what God had for him. He still wanted to receive God's promises, and he went to Joshua. He reminded Joshua of the things that Moses promised him 40 years before. He wanted the mountaintops, and he was aiming for those all these years. As he wandered with the children of Israel, he had a focus. He had a focus that he was going to get those mountaintops that was promised to him. He kept his enthusiasm. And there was nothing that deterred him from his goal. Nothing had diminished him from his focus and his goals. You know, what was it in Caleb's life? What was it in his life that, with walking with the discontented children of Israel for those many years, what was it in his life that kept his focus? What was it that kept his focus? Because I know, being with people that are very discouraging and bringing a bad report all the time and never have an upbeat, they're discouraging to my heart. I was wondering, what was it that kept Caleb? What kept his focus and as he walked with the children of Israel? I believe there were things that Caleb put in his life that kept his enthusiasm and his devotion to God. There was things that Caleb put there to be a wholehearted Christian. I believe there was things that Caleb did in his life with him and his family that kept his reverence to God and that kept his focus on God. This morning I say that about a wholehearted Christian. I'm not sure if there's anything but a wholehearted Christian. I met a guy a couple weeks ago. He was an 86-year-old man, and I was sharing with him a while there and was talking about the scriptures, and he knows that he didn't have long to live in this life, and I was asking if he was ready to meet God when he passed on, and he said he was. He said his wife was a Christian too, but she was not really that into it. She was not like a radical Christian. She was up in age too, and I'm not sure this morning if we're not a wholehearted Christian, if there's going to be any victory in our life, if we're going to be able to overcome. One thing Caleb had in his life, he had good communication with God. He heard from God. He was listening to God. He was listening. When God promised Moses those things 45 years earlier, he was listening to the things that God promised Moses. And he tucked those in his heart. He tucked those things in his heart as he wandered for 40 years through the wilderness. I'm sure he thought many times about those things, and he wondered how this was going to happen, that he was going to get those mountaintops, and how he was going to conquer those giants, and that he was going to get the hilltops. I'm sure that he was wondering how this was all going to happen. And when he came up to the Jordan River, and they were getting ready to enter in, these things started becoming pretty clear to Caleb how God was working this out. I can imagine the anticipation that he had in his heart and the excitement that he had. In Numbers 14:24, God is telling Moses that the children of Israel, they tempted him 10 times and hearkened not to his voice. That wasn't the thing that Caleb was doing. Caleb was hearkening to the voice of God. But he said, My Caleb's servant, he said, because he has another spirit within him, and he has followed me wholly, will I bring him into the land where he went, and he and his seed they shall possess that land. Caleb heard that, and he focused, and he set his goals in his life towards that land. He met with God. I'm sure he met with God early in the mornings. I'm sure that he heard from God as they walked through this wilderness. I'm sure that he needed those things to be encouraged in his life. In verse 30 of Numbers 14, God tells him, doubtlessness shall not enter into the land except for Joshua and Caleb. All the rest of the people that came back from that camp, there was very few that was fit. That didn't doubt the report that Caleb and Joshua brought back. And God told him they was not going to enter in. And that was 45 years before. At age 85, he still wanted what God promised him. This was the land he entered as a spy. Caleb set his goals according to God's plan for his life. God made promises for Caleb in those 45 years. God made promises for Caleb as he walked through that wilderness for 45 years. You know, God made us some promises too. Through God's word, he makes many promises to us, and he promises many things to us. And sometimes I wonder if we want these promises as bad as what Caleb did. He went through much tribulation and much struggle through the wilderness and through those times in the... But he set his goals according to God's word. God promised us this morning, he promised us eternal life. He promised us that we can be with him. We can enter into the promised land also. He promised us that. He also promised us that if we walk close to him, he'll give us victory over sin. He'll give us the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He promised these things this morning, and we need to want these as bad as what Caleb wanted them, for these things to happen in our own lives. If we don't set our goals this morning according to God's plan, if we don't set our goals according to what God wants for us, if we don't have our family devotions according to God's will, if we don't raise our children to fear God and teach them the scriptures and teach them out of the Bible, there's no telling. There's no promises for what's going to happen to our children. There may be some bad promises that are going to happen to our children. If we don't raise them in a fear of God, and if we don't walk out our Christian life, that they can see it in our lives the way that what God wants from them and what's expected of them. We're living in a day today where I'm appalled at the sin. I'm appalled at the things that are going around us. And when we read in God's Word today about the earth is waxing worse and worse. I see it in my short lifetime, in my last 15 years. It is amazing that the progress that the people took towards the events that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. I was pouring concrete a while back, and I noticed this person standing off to the side, and he was watching us, and he was watching me, and I could see, it looked like he had a dress on, but he had a beard also. And I anticipated it, and I went over there, and I talked to him a while, and he was a very confused man. He didn't know if he was a woman. He told me he didn't know if he was a woman or if he was a man. His parents never raised him with the fear of God. They never raised him. They give him a bunch of options in his life. They give him the freedom to be whatever he wanted. And he didn't know what he was. And this responsibility lays on us to raise our children to be what God wants for them, not what they want to be for themselves. And I had deep compassion for him. I felt bad for him because he was a very nice man. And he was really confused. The fact of the matter is this morning that we're not meant to discover who we are. We're meant to follow God's plan with our whole heart. You know, the success that Caleb and Joshua had, many people would have thought that it was a failure. You know, even if I can look at it that sometimes, if I go share with some people or someone and no good fruit comes out of it, and it pleased God, it still can be successful. In the eyes of God, it's still successful. You know, Caleb and Joshua, they were very faithful. And when they came back to camp, it might have looked like a failure because no one hearkened to their voice and no one listened to them. But they were very successful because they pleased God. And Joshua, he was not interested in what other people thought. He wanted to please God. He was convinced that whatever God said was right, and God's pattern for his life would be the best. Faith pleases God this morning. And abiding in faith, it'll lead us to our goals. Caleb had much faith when he went into the land. In Psalms 16, verse 8, it says, I have set the Lord before me always, because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. He was committed with his whole heart to the Lord. Caleb was not worried about what the other spies did. He was not worried. He came back and he gave an honest report of what God wanted. He only wanted to please God. I know that he probably displeased a lot of the people by going against the majority, but Caleb wanted to please God, and he knew that what God promised them was available to them. You know, I think as one of the spies, he came back with a positive report, an uplifting report that the Hebrew people, he probably came back there, he was excited. He was encouraged that they was at the promised land and then that they were allowed to enter in. But he didn't have much influence because the other ten, they drowned out his voice. At that point this morning, it would have been easy for Caleb to give up and regard his efforts as being ineffective or a failure. But he didn't. He kept God's promises in his heart. He was confident that God would do what he said. And he didn't know when it was going to be, but he was confident. As he went through the wilderness with the children of Israel, he was confident that God was going to do what he said. In Joshua 10, it says, Behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And he said, These 45 years, ever since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, now lo am I, this day, 85 years. It was 45 years since God made that promise to Caleb. And Caleb was the same man in heart as he was that day that he experienced God's promise. To arrive at that point in life with the same faith, the same desire, the same determination, Caleb, he had to overcome some things in his life. Had he not, he would have prevented him from walking a victorious Christian life. If he had not allowed these things to overcome, if he had not allowed himself to overcome some of these things. You know, this morning, I look at myself. I wonder, do I still have the same faith I had when God came into my life? Did I have the same love for God that I had 10 years ago? Or did I let the obstacles in life get me down? Did I let the little things in life upset me and make me bitter? Did I allow that little root of bitterness to grow in my heart? You know, Caleb had to overcome a lot of these things. You know, his voice was not heard. His voice wasn't heard when he came back from spying out the land. He was made look as a failure. After he came back to the camp, after going into the land, he told them that there was giants in the land, but God give us the land. And the other 10 spies, they seen the giants also, and they discouraged the people. Caleb seen it from God's point of view. He seen it that God was going to take care of the giants. And the other spies seen it, and they knew that the giants were big. Caleb had to overcome their negativity. He knew God wanted them to have the land. He knew God had given them the land, and it was theirs, but the people did not believe God. I think the biggest thing that Caleb had to overcome was he wandered through the wilderness the next 40 years, knowing that he was at the gates of Canaan. They were at the Jordan River, ready to enter in, and God made him turn away because of the unbelief of all the rest of the spies. He had to surrender that and overcome that. The amazing thing is, as we read through here, as Caleb turned around and they went back through the desert, you don't hear a whole lot from Caleb and Joshua. You don't hear a whole lot of them being mentioned through all the books of that speak about the children of Israel. You know, the mountains that Caleb was promised, they were occupied by the giants. And these were the tall men. These were the impressive men. They were proud men. These were the mountains in Caleb's life that he had to overcome. He knew that God promised him these mountains, and he knew that these giants were there. And they were what he'd have to overcome. He'd have to overcome those giants to possess that land. What are the things this morning that we need to overcome to walk in victory? I don't know what it is. I know there's things in my life that I need to overcome all the time. I need to let go, and I need to repent, and I need to, most of all, it's my will that I need to repent of, having my own will and going my own way. But to walk in victory this morning, we need to have repentance in our heart. We know that as Christians this morning, we're not to be tiptoeing through this life. Caleb and Joshua, they were serious about their walk with God, and they marched in and they took the land. To be a good soldier of Jesus this morning, we need to be serious. We need to be serious about our Christian life. We need to be serious about walking with God, and the Word of God needs to be serious to us. There's a story that I read of a man, in closing here, there's a story that I read of a man that wanted to buy some life insurance. And he sent for an insurance agent, and the insurance agent come to his house, and he was asking him questions about the health of his family and all those things. And he told him about his mom was doing fine, and he asked him about his dad. He told him that his dad had died a few years ago. And the agent asked him what killed his dad. And he said he doesn't know what killed him, but he don't think it was anything serious. And many people this morning, they feel that way about little sin. They feel that way about the little things in life that hinder us. Or maybe it's an anger problem or a problem with the things that we would call little sins. There are no such things as little sins. We'll never drive the giants out of our life, and we'll never conquer the mountains. We'll never reach our God-given goals if we don't get serious about the little sins and cry out to God that we could walk in victory. You know, we see the children of Israel this morning. They struggled for 40 years with bickering and complaining, and they never overcame. And God never let the original children of Israel ever enter into the promised land. What about us this morning? Are we going to enter into the promised land with sin in our life? I don't think the Bible supports that. I think that's all I have. Thank you very much for listening. I hope it came out in a way you could understand it. So.